Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, John Dickinson is in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. Hope everybody's having a great day. San Francisco 49ers are in L.A. this weekend to play the Rams in the NFC Championship game. And we're going to talk about that. Real quick, JD, we did get one text through, said, Steiny, Bill Laimbeer comes to mind to take a hard foul on. And then I've got a guy, oh, and then 408 says, four hard fouls on Patrick Beverly, Grayson Allen, Marcus Smart, and James Harden. So there you go. We were talking about who you'd like to take a hard foul.
No Westbrook?
You know what? I don't like him, but I don't need the hard foul.
He's becoming a sympathetic figure.
Because you know what? Here's the thing, too. Exactly. You hard foul Westbrook and you hurt him, you just made the Lakers better. You know what I'm saying? So you don't want to do that. You want to keep Westbrook in the game.
Is that why Draymond Green today said that maybe he should stay on the Lakers? I believe he said that via his podcast, said Russell Westbrook shouldn't be traded.
I heard that on his Volume podcast. I'll tell you what, Draymond, he's phenomenal. He is phenomenal.
Day-day!
I mean, he's going to be Charles Barkley when it's all said and done. I really believe that. All right. Here's the one thing I was thinking about with this game. We talked a lot about the quarterback situation for the San Francisco 49ers, and I could just say we've talked about it all year long, which would be true. But here's the one thing I was thinking. And when we started the show, JD, I was just telling you why, you know, one of the reasons I think football is just the king, and it's because how high the stakes are in each game. And the fact that the 49ers lose that game to the Rams the last week of the season, and everything's different. Our perception of Kyle Shanahan's different. Our perception of the season's different. Everything did a 180 when they got into the playoffs. So I'm thinking about Kyle Shanahan and McVay and Sean McVay. And Kyle Shanahan has beaten McVay six straight times. But it's unbelievable because nobody's going to remember those six. If the Rams win on Sunday, it's just not going to matter. And it's going to allow McVay, like, I really, you know, again, it's going to be the difference between Sean McVay is a poor man's Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay won the big one when it mattered over Kyle Shanahan. You know what I mean? Both have a legitimate point of view.
It is interesting how much is on the line for both, because both have been to a Super Bowl and lost. McVay has had more success in terms of the regular season, obviously, and he's won playoff games even in years where they haven't gone to the Super Bowl or won the Super Bowl. And I think the one year they didn't, they were still 9-7. So I think to this point, all things being equal with the one Super Bowl each, you know, McVay has had the better tenure. Like McVay's done more to this point. But they're at a fork in the road, I think, if Shanahan gets to a second Super Bowl. I think at that point you could say, all right, well, the regular season success, even if McVay has an advantage there, Shanahan's now been to two Super Bowls, And he's got the head-to-head advantage, which would be 7 in a row and 8 out of 11 overall since the two started going head-to-head. So McVay won 3 of the first 4, and now Shanahan's won the last 6. So I think their comparison, I think this is the fork in the road where McVay gets the win and he continues to be the better coach or the coach with more on his resume, or Shanahan kind of takes that mantle over really for the first time.
No, that's exactly what I was getting at. And the one thing I was thinking, and we always talk about the 49ers and the Bay Area teams because we're here, but I'm thinking about Sean McVay, and if he loses this game on Sunday, well, you know, he's kind of like Kyle Shanahan. He's not going anywhere. He's not going to be fired. But if you are Sean McVay, and conventional wisdom, and you said it yourself, JD, you think the Rams are a better team than the 49ers, more talent, or certainly even or better.
They've,
you know, what does he do then?
They've proven it.
Well, then what is it? What does he do then? If Sean McVay loses this game, he's lost 7 in a row. To Kyle, including the last game of the regular season and the NFC Championship game, and conventional wisdom is the Rams have more talent, certainly have the better quarterback and more talent. What do they do then? Then what?
They got to go back to the drawing board and be, I think, a little bit more specific in the players that they add as far as the matchup. And I want to be clear before everybody comes down my road for saying I think the Rams are better. I want to say it in this way. They're better against the rest of the league than the 40. Like if you take the head-to-head out, and I'm not saying – I mean, look, the head-to-head matters, but the Rams are better against everybody else than the 49ers are. That's just flat-out true. So
– Well, they had a better record.
You know, they had a better record, and they went and they won in Tampa. I mean, you think the Niners are going and they're winning in Tampa? You know, so the head-to-head is what draws it close and obviously gives the 49ers a means to win. I think the Niners are going to win the game Sunday. I think a lot of people go in thinking they should win the game, which I think you got to be a little careful with that. Like, you could think they can win the game, but should win the game? I mean, that's where it gets a little bit crazy. So I do want to make sure I phrase it in that way. I think they are the better team, but for whatever reason, the matchups, the 49ers own them right now. I mean, there's no other way to put it because they've blown them out. Like, here's the thing. They've blown them out. They've also been getting on the brink of being blown out and come back and won. They've won with Nick Mullins as the quarterback last year in one of the games, right? So it hasn't always been Jimmy Garoppolo specific, although it has been Garoppolo specific in what, 5 of the 6. They've got their number. It's transcended Goff and Stafford, because what was the conversation in the offseason? Well, the Rams went and they got Stafford. The reason the Niners were winning was because Goff wasn't able to get to that level, right? So once they fixed the Goff problem, they were going to start beating the Niners. Well, guess what? That didn't happen either. And Stafford looked at times in that game against the 49ers on January the 9th like he was a little small in the moment as things were really tightening up. So I think that's, you know, those are the areas where the Niners have the advantage. I do want to make this point about Stafford. And I think I made this to you over the weekend. Stafford's in a different place now than he was 2.5 weeks ago, because now Stafford has done some stuff. And he hadn't. It's always that, you know, Stafford was, compare him to Garoppolo, right? Like, he's got the Garoppolo gene. And that was being kind of thrown as a negative.
Right.
Well, now he's won a couple of playoff games and played well and went and out-dueled Tom Brady. So and made a big time throw in the biggest moment and knocked them out after everything was collapsing around them. So Stafford, I think you have to look at a little more respectfully than you did 2.5 weeks ago, because now he's not a guy that can't get it done because he's just gotten it done twice.
Right. Well, I think the part that makes me lean Niners is the psychological component. And I should probably say, well, it can't just be psychological, it's got to be physical too, because the 49ers are more physical than the Rams, and that's one reason they've had success. But what I'm getting at, JD, is you said it. The 49ers have beaten the Rams six straight times, and they've beaten them a lot of different ways. But the way they beat them in Week 18, where they came back from a 17-0 deficit and then made the plays in the fourth quarter, came back and broke their heart, that, in conjunction with the specific game the Rams just played against the Buccaneers, where they made about three or four plays that almost caused them a catastrophic, giving up a monster
collapse.
Lead. Yes. So they got beat by the Niners late, and they've been beaten by the Niners six straight times, and they're coming off a win. Yes, it was a win, but it was almost a major, like you said, calamity. You cannot tell me if these teams are tight with 10 minutes left that the 49ers don't have an edge in a game like that. I'm not saying the Rams couldn't turn the tide one game, but I'm sorry. The 49ers will have the advantage in that fourth quarter of a tight – I'm going to say it. If it's a one-score game, then I just think the Rams are going to start feeling it.
Absolutely. And the Rams have shown it not only against the Niners, but they showed it a little bit against Tampa, to your point there. I also think and I know you may disagree with me on this one, but I do think that the fans that's become a thing that if I were the Rams, like I would hate the fact that I got, players and the wives of players and like out there basically acknowledging, hey, they took the joint over, and now we got to do something about it. Like, that in and of itself is something that may be true, and I think we all watched it and saw it was true, but you don't want to admit that. And I know, I guess it comes from a place of all in good fun when you've got, Whitworth and his wife saying, hey, sell your tickets to me, and we'll find a good home. And then you got what Staley and Frank Gore doing the opposite, on the Niners side. But I think, to bring it back to the specific point, I do think that stadium being full of red is unnerving to the Rams. Even though they know it going in, I think it's another box checked on the line of when things get tough, the Rams look around and it's like, yeah, we're just in this cauldron, even right. In our own freaking stadium that we can't escape these guys.
Right, right. Earlier in the week, when we were talking about this, I said, doesn't matter. What I was specifically talking about was the Rams organization saying, we don't want to sell tickets to the 49ers. Like that part, and then people say, oh, the Rams are so weak. They're frauds. They've got no faith. Like that to me is dumb. But there's absolutely no doubt that half a stadium of 49er fans, now that, the tangible result of that absolutely to me makes a difference. And I'm telling you, I'm starting to get the sense that this game's going to be every bit as red as the last game, and maybe even more red, if you know what I mean. And that part I do think matters a little bit. And especially, I think it matters kind of what I said with, are you telling me that these 17-17 with 8 minutes to go and either Garoppolo or Stafford has the ball, let's say Stafford, and it's loud with 49er fans, that will matter, I think.
It definitely will matter, and I think the Niners know that. The Niners know in that situation that they've got an advantage, and I think that to me the Rams are almost going to have to blow the Niners out in a way, like, or win it. Maybe right. Not blow them out, because the Niners just don't get blown out right now, but they're going to have to be up 10 with 8 minutes to go, not
right.
not up 7 or
right.
8 or down 7 or whatever it is. Like, they almost have to be up 2 scores, I think, to feel like they're in command, and it won't somehow slip away from them. And I think both teams know that going in. The Niners know that it this is the first week where I will openly say, and I've been somewhat right and somewhat wrong as far as the last couple of weeks go, but I've said I think they have to play a perfect game.
The Rams.
I think the Niners had to play a perfect game to win. Last week. Both of the last 2 weeks.
Okay.
Now, I think the Niners played a perfect first half in Dallas, and Dallas was such a mess that they were able to hang on and win that game, but didn't have to play a perfect game. So that part, and the Packers, too, I think defensively they played a near-perfect game, and then you make up for the offense by making 2 huge special teams plays, and you wind up winning a low-scoring game. This is actually the first week where I go into it, and I say, you know what, the Niners don't have to play a perfect game. They can't.
It's funny,
play,
yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead. I'll let you jump in there.
No, I was just going to follow up. In fact, and I was just thinking that as you were saying this, it's like, well, how do the Rams win this game? Well, to me, kind of the only way the Rams win this game is they got to get 2 big plays on defense. Like, they need Ramsey to make an interception deep in his own territory, or maybe a pick six. They need Aaron Donald to strip sack Garoppolo deep in four. You know what I mean? They almost need 2 of those plays, I feel like, against the San Francisco 49ers. And it feels to me like, yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo's make a mistake here or make a mistake there. But I do think this is the kind of game the 49ers go into when they're saying, if we just stay solid and we don't put the ball on the ground, we're going to beat this team. We're going to flat out beat this team. And I shouldn't say the only way, because it's funny, JD, I was taking predictions, everybody, for last game. I actually wrote them down. We had 30 people call in with predictions of the game last week. Nobody was even close. Nobody had anybody, either team, scoring under 17 points. The lowest scoring prediction we had was 2017. So I'm fully aware that something could happen this weekend that nobody expects. But what I'm saying is, I do think it's a game where the Rams are going to have to score, then turn the 49ers over, score again, and now we go. You know what I mean? And now they've got some wiggle room, because, that psychological component, to me, is almost as undeniable as it gets in sports.
I'm with you. The Niners can make 1 big mistake and overcome it. But maybe they can't make 2, but they can make 1. And I wouldn't say that they could make 1 going into either of the last couple of weeks. And it's funny. I picked the Niners to win in Green Bay. I picked them to lose in Dallas. So I was wrong about that one. But I picked them to win in Green Bay. But I would have bet you that that at worst the Packers would have scored 24 points.
Right.
At worst.
But the other thing. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. That's pretty much it. Like I would have thought. Like, there is no way in hell I would have thought. And I was thinking about this during the fourth quarter as the Niners kept not being able to score. I really thought, wow, this is going to be a killer for them and for the fans if they hold Rodgers to 10 and can't can't win. Like, you're telling me you're going to hold the Packers to 10 at Lambeau and not win? Like, that would have been almost a free pass for Rodgers to escape and get on to the next round and then go have a better game the next week.
Yeah, and it actually makes total sense, where if you were going into the Packers game saying, if the 49ers make a big mistake, they're probably not going to win. Well, you know what? Garoppolo did make a big mistake when he threw the interception. And then they come, like, that was the mistake that, in essence, should have made it a 2-score game. And if that game, if the 49ers go in 10-0, I don't think the 49ers win that game. Because then they don't go in They don't go into the tunnel at halftime jumping up and down, knowing that they kept it to a one-score game and they hadn't played well.
There were three plays. I think the Warner forced fumble when the game, it looked like the Packers were going right. They had scored at will, and it looked like they were going down to score at will again. And at that point, 14-0. If the Packers go down at that point, it's like, uh-oh, like this could get ugly. How much are the Niners going to have? So the Warner, the fumble, the forced fumble, the blocked field goal, and then obviously the blocked punt. I mean, those were the three. So not only did the Niners make one, I think, catastrophic play, if you want to say the Garoppolo interception was that, the Packers had three the other way.
Right.
Essentially, like that turnover in the was a complete momentum stopper for them. And think about it. They never got rolling again offensively.
No.
They had the first two series, and that was it. From that point on, they couldn't really do anything. And then I do think the weather as the game went on, and you said this to me. I don't know if you said it on the air, but you said it. Hey, I think the Niners need to hope for some snow and hope for some elements, and then all of a sudden the elements are coming in, and it kind of becomes more of a Niner style game. In terms of, the Packers are at Lambeau, and you think, but the Niners style of play, I think, fits a snow game better than the Packers style of play. So that I think became an advantage. But for the Niners to have one catastrophic negative play. Yes, they did, but the Packers, going back to that game, had three catastrophic negative plays, and they wound up losing.
Well, and the reason I thought Jimmy Garoppolo's throw could have cost him the game, actually. And I like Garoppolo, and I'm not one of the people who detract from him all the time, but the reason that was a bad throw is because the 49ers should have been the ones making it 7-3 at that point. And so it wasn't them just not scoring. It was almost like, well, now we lost points because we were down there in range. Okay, well, now not only did we lose points, now we may give up points on the other end. And that's where I think the blocked field goal just absolutely changed everything. And the other thing, getting back to the Rams a little bit, there was something about that 49er game when they came out in the second half down 17-0 and they scored. I just was looking at the Niners, and they just seem to be – there just seems to be a confidence where they say, if we dot our I's and cross our T's and play football and hit hard, and they will succumb. They cannot beat us. If we play at a certain level and we establish a certain level, even if we can only establish it for a half, and that's exactly what they did.
I'm going to put it very short and sweet. They knew they had them. Like at that point, they knew they had them. Like that they could do what they needed to do to win that game. And I think that's the part. And we've seen the Warriors do this to teams over the years. They may blow them out like the Niners did, but the game that to me really messes with a team is the one where you think it's going to be different and you've got the lead and then all of a sudden you don't win. And that's the most recent memory in this matchup, in this rivalry between these two teams. So I think it is something that the Rams are going to have to overcome as they get rolling in this game, and it gets kicked off at 3:40.
It's a little bit like the way I remember Game 6, the Warriors playing against the Thunder in the Western Conference Finals, when the Thunder could have put that series away. They're playing well. They got the lead at half. You know what I mean? Like they're seemingly in control of that game, and then Klay goes nuts. You end up losing a game that you played pretty well in, but you didn't make any plays down the stretch, and now you got to go play the Warriors in Oracle, and you have no chance. You know what's funny is all these positives that the 49ers have against the Rams, and you said this, so I'll give you credit for it. It's what could make a loss this weekend an absolute gut punch, when the reality is at this point, after going 10-7 and sneaking in as a wild card, even if you'd lose this game, if you lose this game to any other team, you're probably like, hey, we had a hell of a year. We had a hell of a run. But how could we lose to the team we beat six straight times? That's where the emotional part of a loss would really sting now, as opposed to, hey, we're playing with house money, everybody. Well, you are, but this team you own.
Well, and in a way, it really would be, I mean, it would almost, it's the only way that you can, you know, start to really have it hurt, because now you're thinking you should win, right? Like, now you're thinking you've got it right there in front of you, and almost like the hard part is done.
Yep.
In terms of getting to the Super Bowl, I think Right. Everybody respects Kansas City for sure, and the Bengals. But if they play the Chiefs, man, I think, you know, Niner fans are going to be worried about that one, because they've obviously seen it before. But yeah, there's this belief that you've kind of got it dialed now because you're facing the Rams. And this is what I was going to say. I lost my train of thought for a second. Very quickly, it would be very on brand for this 2021 Niners to now lose the game that you think they're it would. And I'm not saying that with shade, but it would, because every time this team thought they had it, what would happen? They'd take a gut punch loss when you thought they were going to win, and you'd be like, damn it, this is really a part of who, like, that DNA is still there.
No doubt. But the funny thing is this is the team that kind of got them on track twice when they were down and struggling. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Talk to us about the NFC Championship game. Would it be a bigger gut punch to lose to the Rams than any other team? How are you feeling about this game? And the question I really want to get to is, what's the biggest difference between the 49ers midseason and the 49ers now? Does it have to do with Kyle Shanahan? Is it Debo Samuel? Is it the defense? Is it Jimmy Garoppolo? Is it Ayuk coming around? 888-957-9570. It's all sponsored by the Exergen Corporation.
Miles Turner, he's a jackass.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, this segment brought to you by Livermore Casino on First Street, downtown Livermore. Miles Turner's hurt. He's going to be hurt through the All-Star break. Hey, by the way, JD, real quick, we got a lot of calls here, but one of the things a lot of Warrior fans have wondered is, let's just say Wiseman has another setback and it looks like he's not going to be able to play. It's not as simple as the Warriors, well, we'll just go out and get somebody. If they were to go out and get a big man, they'd have to waive somebody, correct?
Yeah, they'd have to cut somebody off the 15, and Chioza and Quindary Weatherspoon don't count because those two are on two-way deals. So, and they just guaranteed Damian Lee's contract for the rest of the season, which, I mean, they still could waive him, but they'd just have to pay him for the rest of the year.
Let's just say hypothetically, you know, Wiseman's not coming back, and they go out and get somebody. Marcus Saul, doesn't even matter what the name is. Who do you think gets waived?
Boy, that's tough. I don't think it would be Damian Lee.
Really? See, I thought it would be.
Well,
him.
He plays, man, and I mean, he is the next guy that Steve Kerr goes to, and look, Warrior fans hate it at times, but I think he's productive. To me, he does more than JTA. If you had to pick between those two, I think he does, because
he can make a shot
consistently. Well. To me, you need that. You need a 2-3 more than you need a 3-4-5, a 3-4 or a small 5 at that point. But look, I don't think. But the point I'm getting at is, it would be hard, I think, to waive Damian Lee for sure. It would be hard to waive JTA for all the intangibles and how liked he is and his journey and the fact that he is a player that, you know, if you're down in your rotation, he may not be in your primary rotation, but you can put him in your primary rotation if you got a couple of guys out and feel okay about it. And so I actually think it and I wouldn't do this either, but, you know, Bielitsa would be the third one that you'd have to consider. Big for a big, but I think they like his ability to shoot from the outside and right. pass.
Well, the problem with going to get like a Marc Gasol and then waving Bielitsa is if Marc Gasol can't play, you know, and I get it, Bielitsa is more of a stretch five, but you just lost your second tallest player.
And I think somebody would pick him up, too.
You might be right.
Not that.
You might be right.
You know, not that. So I don't. I think they stand pat, and it's just not. There really isn't a. Because the other thing is you could make a trade where you send two out and bring one back, and that, you know, that could be a way, or one for one even, where you're having a roster. So I mean, those, but who would that be
right
at that point?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's tricky.
We will see. All right, let's get back to the four.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
49ers, we got full lines, JD, so let's run through a few of these. Paulie's been waiting patiently in San Francisco. What's going on, Paulie? How you doing, man? What do you want to talk about? 49ers. Yeah, go ahead. All you.
Hi, real quick, because I'm what you. I've been listening for a while. I think we would have to keep Damian Lee and move JTA for a big, because Damian Lee plays defense, knows the system, is shooting over 44 from the floor and over 38 from three, which is 5 percentage points better than Cole. I think that we have to keep him. I just
right.
plug that in for the Niners. I think what happened in answer to your question is in the middle of the year we got Garoppolo semi healthy. We actually got one running back healthy, and we got Ayuk involved. And I think that really helped turn, and the secondary, I think that helped turn it around. I have a question for y'all that I'm really interested in your take on. I've been a sports fan 50 years, and I've always heard that it's really hard to beat a team three times in 1 year. And the Rams have seemed to have dialed in OBJ, and I want to get your take on if our defensive backs can cover both now really happening OBJ and Kupp at the same time. I want to know if that's a I have concerns about it. I think we do have to play a perfect game to beat them.
Appreciate it, Paulie. JD, does OBJ being healthy and productive maybe throw one thing into the mix that the 49ers haven't seen?
He's playing better now than he was a couple of weeks ago, than he was going back toward the back end of the season. So I he's more of a factor, it feels like. I kind of thought he was sort of a joke, to be honest. Like it almost seemed like his arrival for a certain period of time kind of messed the Rams up. I mean, starting with the game at Levi's, right? Wasn't that his first game? I think the game at Levi's was his first game with the Rams, if I'm not mistaken. And he ran the wrong route, I think, on a play early, and it was all bad from there. And they didn't play as well for a stretch. So, but I do think he's different. And look, Cooper Kupp, for the most part, has had his way against the 49ers, which I think is something to factor in. And so, yeah, I think OBJ is not, it's not nothing.
Right.
It's not nothing. And look, the Rams are, the irony is, and I was just looking at this, the Rams are 7-1 in their last 8 games. And so, but what was the one loss, right? It was.
I didn't realize that. Didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Larry's in Pacifica. What's going on, Larry? How you doing, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for taking me.
Yeah.
So, the Niners, their season kind of really emulates what the Giants did this year. They beat L.A. plenty of times, but, how many times can you go to the well? And beating the same team 3 times in 1 year is really tough to do. I just don't hope the 49ers, I know they're a little banged up right now, but they kind of remind me how the Giants were coming into that playoff game, and hopefully, LA's not going to come through. But I'm just coming in a little worried about this team.
I get it. It's one of those things. Would you rather be in the Rams spot, having lost 6 in a row, or the 49ers? I'd still rather be the 49ers, just knowing.
I'd still rather be the Niners too. One note on that. I want to say I read a stat, and forgive me if you guys had this, but it's 21 times that this has happened where a team is playing for the 3rd time, and the team that's won the first 2 I think has won 14 of the 21. So it's 2/3 of the time, but it's only happened once that the team that won the first 2 won the 3rd game on the road. Like, usually the team usually the better team over the course of the season is the team that wins 3 times.
Gotcha. So that's not
so
that
it's
hard.
A little bit of an outlier.
But it's not that hard then.
Right.
To beat
but this
team
is more of an outlier. This is a little
the
more
fact
of an outlier.
The 49ers are on the road.
Right. And gotcha. they weren't the better team overall.
Correct. Nick, I'm sorry, AJ. AJ's in Fremont. What's going on, AJ? How you doing, man?
Hey, guys. I'm doing very good, and I think this game is going to be it's giving me, butterflies in my stomach when I think about the game. I think the good thing about Niners right now is, we are healthy at the right time. That's the most important thing. I mean, Trent Williams is on. We got all the star players. They're going to play. That's huge for us. And I believe that looking into the past games and 6 games he have played with Rams, there are 2 things which they need to do. Protect Jimmy G from Aaron Donald and his team, and cover number 10, which has been the biggest issue right now from last 6 games. And they cannot let number 10, roam around the way he did in Buccaneers game, and it caused a big disaster for Buccaneers. So I think if they fix these issues, and I think we are good, the chances are very, very, very positive. I'm going to the game. I spent a lot of money for the tickets from Fremont. I'll be driving with my son.
Nice.
I'm all excited for this thing. And, we're going to root for Niners. And, I hope, I'm hoping for the best. And, this year we got to win the Super Bowl. This is the year.
Appreciate it, AJ. It's a funny little text here from the 831. Say, throw that one out, JD, because, I didn't say JD, but They said, this is like a home game for the 49ers. It's not going to be, it's not kind of not going to be like a road game. So it's going to be interesting to see that ratio. Bobby's in Los Altos. What's going on, Bobby? How you doing, man?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for the time. First of all, I guess condolences to Goo, if you're listening, as well as Steinmetz to your wife's family.
Oh, thank you.
If you've never lost anyone in your life, consider yourself very lucky. That being said, I'm very nervous for this Rams game, and I actually expect them to lose. But what do I know? I thought they'd beat the Cowboys and lose to the Packers. And the reason I think they're going to lose is exactly all the reasons that we state that makes everyone so comfortable. They've won six in a row against them. They apparently won't even have a home field advantage, and they almost yacked away a game against the Bucks. All those things, to me, if I'm a Ram, puts me on high alert, and I'm extra careful to make sure that I'm going to execute and not do anything stupid. I just feel like there's too many things that seem to be going the Niners' way from an underdog standpoint, and it just seems like the Rams should be able to win one out of seven. And then also, both teams both recently went to the Super Bowl, so they have a lot of players on both teams that know the disappointment or the bitterness of losing the Super Bowl. So I don't think anyone needs any motivation. So I am obviously I want the Niners to win, but I certainly would not be surprised, and I expect the Rams to win. The only thing that makes me crazy is I cannot stand that we keep losing to L.A. in all of these playoff play-in situations. Thank you for the time.
Appreciate it, Bobby. You know, the one thing, J.D., I'm fast-forwarding to Sunday, and I get it. The Rams probably know this is coming, but I mean, just imagine the Rams. You win your division. You get to the NFC Championship game with a new quarterback, essentially. You're at home for the NFC Championship game against a team that's had your number. And it's like I'm envisioning Stafford running through the tunnel, coming out, saying, you know, this is the biggest game, and it feels like a road game. Like, I do think that's going to have to be dealt with. Like, the Rams will not have a frenzied crowd behind them. They just won't. It'll be basically a neutral site game, can there be a psychological component to that? Yeah, it's a high school homecoming game. It's the biggest game of the year, and you come out, and it's like half the stadium's rooting for the other team. It's like, damn. You can't really feed off it, you know? So I'm interested to see that.
It's not nothing. It's another thing that I think the Rams have to overcome in addition to the things that the 49ers on the field have done so well against them over the course of this season, but also these last 3 years for this streak to get built up to six.
Nick's in Berkeley. What's going on, Nick? How you doing?
Man, all this nail biting and worrisome and shivering going on with the Niners. Look, man, I don't know if people haven't noticed the veracity of which our defense is playing, but let me tell you something, man. I got the same vibe I got right now when we played Denver in the Super Bowl, and we blew them out. And I told my friends they're going to get a field goal in the first half and a touchdown. You can have a touchdown to end of the game. And that's what happened in the Super Bowl, and that's what's going to happen down SoFi. It's not even going to be close. We're going to blow them out of the water, dude, on the way to the Super Bowl. And then we're going to be right back down there after we come home for like a few days and then go right back down there to little Levi's, because that's what's going down.
Appreciate it, Nick. Was that the Steve Young? I get those two. The 55-10,
no, was that Chargers? No, that was with Montana.
Oh, that was with Montana?
No, 55-10 was against Denver in the 89 season, the 90 Super Bowl.
Okay, well, which one was the Steve Young coronation in the Super Bowl? Chargers.
94-95, yeah, against the Chargers.
What, 49-6 or something like that?
Yeah, the Chargers scored in the 20s, I think.
49-99
scored a point.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it was. I want to say maybe 27, even like or 21.
Gotcha.
By the way, guys, could either of you name the last NFL team to beat another team three times in a season? It's happened 17 times since 1950. Can you name the last?
What year?
Okay, I'll give you the year. It was 2009, JD. 2009 going into the 2010 season.
Okay, I think I know who it was.
Go ahead.
Dallas over Philly?
Oh, my God. Wow. Wow. I mean, listen, but if you're out in your car and you think the fix is in, it's not.
Can you name the last Super Bowl winner to do it, JD?
The last Super Bowl winner to do it.
Not giving
so
you the
obviously
year.
Obviously before. Yeah, no, you can't give me the year on that one.
I'll take a guess. The New York Giants over the Eagles. All right, I'm done. You know, you can think about.
This is probably wrong, but I'm going to say the Cowboys over the Eagles in '92.
Whew, I was going to say
Pittsburgh Steelers 2008 against the Ravens.
Ooh, I wouldn't.
That would have taken me a while.
Steiny, the Giants did do it in the 86 or 7. They beat the Washington football team 3 times. Okay. So you had the team, but not the opponent.
Yeah. But they were all guesses anyway. So Tim's in Danville. What's up, Tim? How you doing, man?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. I love your show. You know, I'm all excited. I'm a big Niner fan. I've been, I had season tickets for years and all excited. Maybe you can go down to the game. And then I see Kyle's, statement on Jimmy Garoppolo saying, Jimmy, imminent departure is going to happen, blah, blah, blah. But, we expect him to just be Jimmy and do a great job. What kind of crap is that, Kyle? I kind of feel bad for Jimmy. I think he's a good quarterback. And I think the team owes him a lot more respect than they're giving him. And now I'm a little bit torn about this game. It's like, hey, you're married, but, we're going to go on the last vacation before we get divorced. Come on, man. It just doesn't seem right.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it.
Working.
Yeah, it is. It's. I know what he means, though. I know what he means. I know there's a segment, and I know there's a segment. It might be a small segment. I know there's a segment of 49er fans. Well, you know what? I'll do it this way so that nobody's offended. I know there's a segment of so-called 49er fans that do not want Jimmy Garoppolo to bring this thing home. Let's put it that way.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding? That's why I say so-called. Because, JD, you don't acknowledge there's a strong contingent of some fans who just can't stand Garoppolo. They win in spite of him. We should have played Trey Lance from the beginning, and we'd be blowing teams out left and right with a great quarterback.
I think yes, but I think those so-called fans, I think they were in that place right up until they made the playoffs, and then they made amends because they made amends because it's like, okay, you know what? I just need to tone it down and be a fan and enjoy it. Even if you say wanted the season to be over with a couple of weeks earlier because it was just so disappointing. It just didn't match the expectations. So I think in essence you were out, but now you're like climbing back on and gripping as tightly as you possibly can. I think that's definitely going on.
Yeah, I do too. Burnsy and Fremont, what's up, Burnsy?
Fellas, what's going on? Hey, I can almost guarantee a 49ers win.
Oh, nice.
And I'm going to tell you why. Because on October 1st, your boy Burns put $100 on the Rams to win the Super Bowl. And so the way my luck has been going, that probably is not going to happen.
Gotcha.
I just had a four-team money line parlay with all the road dogs, and the Bills blew it for me over the weekend. So congratulations, Niners. You guys are going to do it this weekend. Good job.
Make sure, Burnsy, next time you call in to pick your battles with Willard and Dibley and Spadoni and Kyle Madsen.
Lock it in. Grizzlies -4.5, Steiny.
Who are they playing tonight?
Spurs.
Yeah. 134-110, I think that game's supposed to be.
Ah, man. Well, we're one day closer to this game, I know that. And I can't wait.
You want a couple of...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, JD, my Sunday's locking in. I got a crack of dawn tea time, and I'll be done by the 12 o'clock game. And nice. Your boys, for better or worse, is kind of a bachelor lately.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I like it.
Yeah. It's fine.
I hope everything's okay.
No,
I hope everything's okay.
It's fine. It's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, so, my Sunday's locking in as well because I learned last night I'm actually going to be going down to SoFi. I'm going to be covering,
really?
I'm going to be covering the game.
Nice.
At SoFi.
So I guess we're not watching it together. All right.
I know.
Drive down.
unless you drive down. No doubt. So we're a little reprisal of the old boots on the ground for Sunday.
Good.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
So looking forward. Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Have you ever been down to that stadium?
I have not. So okay. that'll be a sight. No question. So looking forward to that. And then I also had a couple of notes here. Are we up against it? Or are we
about
got
a minute. 40 seconds.
Okay. Couple of notes here from Pro Football Focus, PFF George. PFF George, right? George Chihori. I'm probably mispronouncing his name. How the Niners beat the Rams two times. I'm quoting his tweet. Blitz Stafford 14% of the plays, but got pressure at a 41% rate. So Stafford's destroyed the blitz. Niners got pressure without blitzing. The Niners torched the middle of the field on offense, 29 of 36 to the middle of the field for 320 and three touchdowns. The Niners in the two games throwing to the middle of the field. And Aaron Donald's pass rushing grade, 93 against everybody else, 62 against the 49ers. So
there you go.
He goes night-night. That, again, at PFF_George. Want to give him credit.
Cool. Spinone, what do we got coming up next?
Damon Ratto, 4:15, Dan Le Batard, nice. 5 o'clock, Steve Kerr, 5:30, Dre Greenlaw.
That's a great stacked guest list. Don't go anywhere. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.